name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There's a prayer that, at least if you come to the Stations of the Cross on Friday, we've prayed a lot of times during this this Lent, every Lent. And it goes like this. Assist us mercifully with your help, O Lord God of our salvation, that we may enter with joy upon the contemplation of those mighty acts whereby you have given us life and immortality. And when we contemplate the story that we just read and the sadness and the pain and the injustice of it all, have you ever wondered what on earth is good about Good Friday? And how can we contemplate Jesus' passion and death, the story that we just read, how can we contemplate that with anything like joy? It's hard to understand. When I was about 7 years old, exactly seven in fact, my baby brother was born. And it was a time of great celebration for our whole family, because my mom had suffered through 5 pregnancies that ended in grief. She had 4 early miscarriages and a terribly painful stillbirth of a little girl that we named Veronica. But finally, my brother Timothy had been born whole and healthy, and he was the first boy, which made my dad really happy. And one day, shortly after my brother had been brought home from the hospital, I accidentally overheard a telephone conversation between my mom and a good friend of hers. And as women's conversations often do, this conversation contained a lot of graphic details about the process of childbirth. Women talk about that kind of thing. And these were details I was completely ignorant of as a second grader. I was horrified to learn that the birth of a child involved pain and blood and cutting and stitches. And it took me days to gather up the courage to ask all the questions of my mom that I wanted to ask. And finally, I went to her in fear and trepidation, and I got the whole story, or at least as much as she could tell me when I was only 7 years old. But the one thing that I remember most clearly from everything my mom explained to me was this: that even though childbirth is painful and messy, for her, all the pain and all the weariness was completely forgotten at the sight of her new child. She told me that she would be willing to suffer it all over again any number of times to bring a new life into the world. She would do it in a heartbeat. Love for this tiny person that she had waited so long to meet just carried her through the pain, and bringing new life into the world turned her sorrow into great joy. That is not a perfect analogy for the cross, because the suffering of Jesus far surpassed the ordinary suffering of something like childbirth. But we find, if you look in the scripture, that God himself uses the analogy of childbirth and labor over and over again through the Bible. At the Last Supper, what we commemorated last night, when Jesus was preparing his friends for the terrible things that were about to happen, he said to them, "Very truly I tell you, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come, but when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world. So with you," Jesus said, "now is your time of grief, but I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy." The prophet Isaiah also describes God's judgment in terms of childbirth. He says, "Terror will seize them, pain and anguish will grip them. They will writhe like a woman in labor." And surely God does not compare judgment to childbirth, because childbirth is something that we recognize as painful. There are a lot of painful things in the world that God could have used as images if he just wanted to scare us with something really scary. God chooses the analogy of childbirth because the ultimate purpose of his judgment is not to punish, not to take vengeance, not to scare us, not to destroy life, but to restore and bring new life always. John wrote this: God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but so that the world might have life through him. And so again, when Paul writes, he describes the suffering of the whole creation as it longs to be healed from war and hatred and disease and pollution and injustice. He describes that global suffering in terms of childbirth. He writes, the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. God himself chooses that image of childbirth because that is a sign of the way that he works. It's a sign of the way he works to bring new life into this broken creation. And so Jesus, who is God himself, willingly entered the darkness of betrayal and pain and sorrow and death, willingly, because it was his good purpose in the abundance of his love for us to bring forth new and incorruptible and unstoppable life. It's our Father's desire for us to view the sorrow and horror of the Passion of Christ. All that we just read, as sad as it is our Father's desire that we see it through that particular lens, the lens of new birth, which is the lens of joy, because that's the only true way that we can understand the cross. That's the reality. The risen Christ came forth from the tomb full of joy. He wasn't full of regret. He wasn't full of bitterness. He wasn't full of recrimination. He laid all condemnation, all judgment, all shame, all guilt. He laid them all to rest on the cross when he prayed, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And then he went to his friends and he greeted them with these words, peace be with you. My peace I give to you. And so on this day of all days, this Good Friday, when we call to mind our Lord's great suffering and his loss, Jesus says this to us, my beloved children, I want you to know that I suffered every step of the way gladly for the sheer joy of bringing new life to you. And that is why we call Good Friday good.